Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 116 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I get a chance to talk to Mauro Ciafari. I'm definitely pronouncing it incorrectly, and he's told me, and he tells us in the interview, that most people call him Max. So, an interview with Max, who currently works at Franklin Barbecue in Austin, Texas, the Franklin Barbecue. This is a really cool one. He's from Italy. We talk about his time in Italy, coming to America, and then making his way to Texas, to Austin, Texas, working at Curlin Barbecue with Bill Curlin. Talk about that time. Talk about his epiphany, which was at Franklin Barbecue, like a lot of people, and then wanting to get into the barbecue business and learn about the barbecue world. And so that's when he got a job at Curlin Barbecue. And then from there, we talk about his journey, his camper, really interesting. They're all really interesting stories. And then how he got a job at Loro in Austin, which got him the job at Franklin Barbecue. And it's a great story. And we talk about his different projects that he's going to be working on that are barbecue related, that are kind of documentary related, which I think you guys are going to find really cool. It's a great interview. Thanks, Max, for taking the time. I know you guys are going to enjoy this. And I am stoked to have the Smoke Sheet on board as the sponsor for the podcast. It's just a great resource. You sign up at bbqnewsletter.com. It was started by Ryan Cooper, Barbecue Tourist, and Sean Ludwig, NYC Barbecue, who both have a wealth of knowledge, both travel around a lot, write about barbecue. They put this newsletter together to offer that information to everyone else. You should definitely follow both of them on their social medias because they're going to awesome places, and it's definitely well worth it. So that's BBQ Tourist, at BBQ Tourist, and at NYC BBQ. But the Smoke Sheet is great. It's a weekly newsletter. Just go to bbqnewsletter.com and sign up. Simple to sign up. The Smoke Sheet is a weekly newsletter that is chock full of information with barbecue joint openings and closings, and if a barbecue joint's opening a second location, they have that, and just news within the barbecue world, as well as links and information for podcasts and YouTube stuff, all barbecue joint related, as well as a barbecue recipe of the week that is curated by them. It's just a wealth of information. You're gonna love it. I've been on board since day one, and I read it from cover to cover, or scroll to scroll, however you want to do it. It's really, really worthwhile. Again, that's bbqnewsletter.com. The Smoke Sheet, barbecue news worth consuming. And if you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out on anything. Also, comment below. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know if there's anybody else that I'm missing that you might want to hear from, because I love reaching out to all these wonderful people in the barbecue world. It's a great family of barbecue people, and I've just loved this from the get-go doing this. So let me know. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com with links on my podcasts and YouTube stuff and barbecue joint visits and butcher shop visits and sausage-making facilities and tons of other information. But thanks so much. Enjoy this. Well, let's jump back a little bit to, well, first off, pronounce your name properly for people so they know.
Okay, for the gringo, I am Max.
Okay.
But my real name is Mauro, and my last name is Ciafari, which everybody pronounce Mauro Ciafari, but I'm pretty good with that.
So. That's actually how I was going to pronounce it.
Yeah. That's fine.
And you were born in Italy.
I was born in Italy, in the north of Italy, because my mother was from the north, my father from the south. Usually people do the other way around. My mother from the north went to the south. Usually people from the south go to the north.
But did you have a history of, were you guys cooking a lot of like open fire? Were you guys cook? Was that in your background, or did you go to culinary school in Italy?
I think I did a little bit of both, because in my father's side, they're all builders. In my mother's side, they have restaurant owners and butchers.
Oh, okay.
So my grandfather, my great-grandfather, they're all butchers. So they probably got to be my gene at some level.
Yeah,
somehow.
For sure.
Yeah, and I start, moving my first step in my uncle and aunt restaurants, cooking pizza, kind of typical Italian stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I went to this academy, Voltiero Marchese, in the north of Italy, which is a high-end cuisine.
Okay.
I work in this two Michelin star restaurant in Sicily.
Oh, wow.
In Ragusa Ibla il Duomo for Chef Ciccio Sultano for a bit. And then, I move forward and... But I work in New York for Serafina from 2000, because I lived in New York for 4 years. Yeah, something like 2007. Yeah, moved in the States in 2007, and okay. I worked in those restaurants, and I would start cooking meat, grilling, and stuff, playing around with it.
But you weren't thinking about doing what you're doing right now. That wasn't.
No, I didn't know much about barbecue, honestly, because outside of Austin, you know, outside of Texas, there is some barbecue, but it's not a big deal. I never had a great barbecue that I said, man, I would like to learn that. It happened about maybe 4 years ago. When I moved to Austin, I was just a tourist. I was tired of New York, and I was hired by the Four Seasons to go to work as a normal chef. In their hiring process, it took us so long, and I would start going around, you know, and I had, you know, I got to have a Franklin barbecue, and on the very sidewalk of their Franklin barbecue, I took my stuff to go. Man, I had the brisket, and really, you know, I was, whoa, what is this? You know?
Yeah, it's something different, yeah.
As soon as I started researching, what is this brisket? And then there was a whole new world opened up to me. I said, man, I really like to do that. And I was going to, after Franklin, because, you know, many people just come from overseas, from outside of Austin. They just try Franklin, that's it, and they walk out.
For sure.
They walk away.
Yeah.
I continue to learn the you know, all the different styles, different barbecue, and I went all over.
What places do you remember going to?
I went to Terry's Black. I went to, back then, I went to La Barbecue. I went to Curlin Barbecue. You know, all these kind of known places that they had good barbecue, you know, different style. And, you know, they were kind of very similar, slightly different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I started to have an understanding of what Texas barbecue was about. And then I discovered La Carte, this kind of old style and all sort of things. And I started, you know what, I thought going to this place, I said, man, maybe I see myself doing this, you know. And I applied to everyone. My barbecue resume was like I had a chef jacket, a white hat, and I applied for barbecue. Now, you do this in a barbecue in Texas, they're not going to hire you.
No.
And then I applied for Beer Carolyn, and at that moment, he was in need of a guy, mm-hmm. you know, and for a stage, you know, say, I don't want to get paid, I just want to learn, you know. And then everything started from Bill Carolyn. He really teach me everything. I was so eager, so hungry of information and stuff.
Can you talk a little bit about Curlin Barbecue? Because people probably have heard the name, but not everyone has gone there. And I know that people should be going there.
Yeah, man. Curlin Barbecue has a great product. And I think it's the most underrated place in
I agree.
In Austin. It is a super fast, extremely super fast service. So if you don't want to wait and do in line, you know, it's extremely fast. Top quality. They use Prime. They have Emily's make this... great kolache, you know, breakfast kolache, which are just delicious. And I think it's a great place. Did a trailer.
Yeah.
He was thinking in kind of making buy a new one. You know, now is he did the 50 years anniversary. Business is doing great. He always tell me that he doubled his business. I mean, he's moving forward. He's pretty successful. What he does.
What were you doing there? Were you trimming briskets? Were you cutting?
So I was complete green about barbecue, but I was willing to learn. So I had a good attitude, you know. Back then, at that period, he was doing the kolache trailer. He was just fixing it and doing the kolache trailer. And we had different passion in common with Bill. We both like Harley Davidson. I ended up buying a Harley Davidson. with him, yeah, we were going to road trip and stuff with him, and Bill Carolyn was really my only friend. I didn't have friend in Austin, you know, and still is one of my best friends.
Yeah.
So I spent so much time in that place, you know, trimming, cooking, learning how to do the fire, seasoning, and then wait for the brisket to go in a camber, all the 9 yards, you know, which is almost 24-hour process. And I said, man, I'm paying. I used to live in Hyde Park back then. I'm paying $1,200 a month. You know, I barely make this money here. Can we see an agreement? Can I live here or something? You know, you have something. So, man, yeah, buy your trailer. You park over here. You can live here. So, all right, let's do it. Went to San Antonio. We grab a trailer, 1961 Shasta, a piece of shit, really piece of shit. On the day of Christmas. I was fixing my trailer, and Bill said, you want to come join us? Then, oh man, I got to fix the trailer. In 3 days, I got to have no house. You know, I need to, this shit to get going. And yeah, we fixed this trailer. And actually, I sold the trailer. I remember I paid $3,600, and I sold it for $7,500.
Wow, good for you. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty sweet. I was so proud about the trailer. It looked sharp. It looks cool.
Have you seen it around at all? Like, did you see the trailer ever again?
Probably somewhere in San Antonio.
What was the genesis of the idea that you want to document what you're doing and then move on to other locations and then also other countries?
So what happened was this. It was pretty much, you know, barbecue is usually is a long cook and stuff like that. And I used to live there. So I had pretty much no day. I was 24/7 always there. And, you know, I was doing barbecue for Bill, cooking for Bill. And I was experimenting myself, learning different, you know, how pretty much I was very intrigued how the fire react with the meat and so forth, you know, action, reaction, those kind of things. I was pretty much always playing around with those brisket. I was kind of this nerdy guy always playing around, and yeah. And people would stop saying, "You guys open?" No, I'm just playing around with the pig, you know. So one day I start making this a live Facebook video with my iPhone 5, and that just did because I was bored. Man, everybody need to freaked out. Wow, what this guy's doing over there? Holy shit, you know. And so who? The people are interested. And I started making this tutorial. Of course, Bill knew it. It was okay with it. He didn't care, you know. That's why I like Bill so much, because I said, yeah, man, do whatever you want. It's all, you know, it's all good advertisement. You know, you're cool. Yeah, let's do it. So he liked it. And because Facebook is so strong in Italy, not much YouTube, not much Instagram at all, but Facebook is very strong in Italy. I started making this Facebook video, and eventually then I moved on YouTube, but still Facebook is the main social
network.
That's
kind of interesting.
Italy.
Yeah, I didn't know
because
that.
It's very interactive. People love to fight on Facebook, you know, to have an agreement. And I will post a, I don't know, a tutorial how to do a brisket, and the whole fucking fight will start, you know. How you do this, you do that, and oh Jesus, you know.
You started little wars.
Yeah, I started little wars how to do it, because over there they have the barbecue was picking up, but was competition barbecue, which is a different animal.
It's
about
the early days of, okay, gotcha.
What we do, and then there were all these people that make it so technical, so difficult. They say it's not easy, it's not an easy job, but you have to follow those pillars, you know, where all the barbecue scenario lied on it, and you have to do that. Few step right, and then, but there is not much, you know, things involved. And
now, what was your next step? Was it getting a job with Aaron, or how did you?
No, it was. I loved it working there. I really was in a place where I enjoy working there. The great relationship with Bill, but then, you know, at some point your circle gets to an end where I'm more interested in learning. Mm-hmm. You know, so as soon as I get something, you know, kind of. Not 100%, but as soon as I have a good picture, I lose interest. That's always something about my personality. Yeah. And, you know, I was working there very intensely for some good time over there. And I just want to move forward. Then I moved, went to Bob Chop Steakhouse, you know, to work a little bit there. But, yeah, I worked a little bit, see what it was. It wasn't really what I want to do. Then, because I was so intrigued about the kind of hot and fast kind of method, I worked for a minute at Cooper's, at Cooper's in downtown Austin on Congress.
Okay.
So over there, I had to go in Italy because I have a lot of stuff going on also in Italy. I have rental property I have to take care. So, unfortunately, I had to leave for a minute to go in Italy, take care of my stuff. Then I come back. I did the Memphis in May. The barbecue competition in Memphis in May. In my way back, I had this kind of, I would say, three options. I applied to John Lewis in Charleston. I applied to Rodney Scott, and I applied to Laurel. And
best in the country.
Yeah. In the meantime, I just gave up applying to Franklin because this guy didn't care. That didn't, you know, it was a waste of time to me. Say, it's not gonna happen. And I say, okay, let's see who's gonna reply. So I had an interview with a phone interview with the human resource guy of John Lewis. I had an exchange of email with Ronnie Scott, and then a lot. Say, man, I'm here. The guy who gonna tell me, yes, come over and work, I'm on it. And it happened. That happened in Loro. For me, it was kind of convenient because Loro was right in Austin, yeah. And they had to move. I said, okay, let's do a Loro. But back of my mind, there was this, well, Aaron Franklin is there. Maybe someday you're going to meet him. You know. At Loro, I met great people. I loved to work there.
It was just as Loro was starting, right?
Yeah, it was right on, yeah. It was maybe probably a few months, a good month. And over there, I met Bram from the Pit Room in Houston. That he was pretty much the head guy about the barbecue kind of scene. JB, which is the manager, Yuma, which is the kind of sous chef, and Chef Tyron Cole. And one day, I remember this particular day, I was chopping brisket and say, hello, I'm Aaron Franklin. Holy shit. And I was talking to him, and my mind, I was kind of high. My brain, it wasn't connected with my words. I said, oh, hello. Can I, you know?
Yeah, well, it's like talking to the
wow. The guy, you know how Aaron is. It's kind of, hello, I'm Aaron Franklin. You know? And I said, holy shit. Wow, that's kind of cool. And I don't know, he was at that period, I don't know right now, but back then, he was pretty much almost every day over there because, you know, they had to get going and this and that. And it happened to be there always when I was starting seasoning brisket and doing stuff. So one day I just told him, listen, Aaron, I really would like to work for you. I apply a zillion times. Oh, really? I didn't know about that. Okay. Oh, yeah. And then pretty much happened, yeah.
When was that? Was that 6 months ago? Or?
No, it's about a year ago, yeah. Okay. Was working between the two is about a year. You know, between Loro and the shifty, I can't recollect pretty much right now exactly.
What was it like that first day that you went over to Franklin Barbecue?
Well, the first day it just blew my mind away. Say, well, how many brisket you got your cooking today? Well, there's okay, not too many, 105. Holy shit! Wow,
that's like a week for some people.
yeah, it's 105. It's good, you know. Hey, maybe you know we get 120. We kind of have to play around with it, but 105 is we have plenty of room. Okay, I guess I'm on it. Yeah, it was the training was super hard because it was so hot that the heat and I couldn't even bitch about it the heat because they had a new smokehouse, which is the ceiling is much higher. Mm-hmm. So all these older guy will tell me, you had to be here a year ago.
Yeah, I heard it.
It was even worse. So it's like, you know, it's like complaining with my father because I was working too much. Oh, when I was a kid at your age, I used to wake up in the morning, walk 100 miles. I said, okay, Dad, okay.
Barefoot. Yeah.
Yeah, barefoot, you know. So, yeah, I couldn't even complain about it. But, yeah, it was a hard training. It was a very hard training. I pick it up kind of quick because I was already into it, you know. And then,
what was it? Did it feel different than Curlin or any other place that you worked at? Did it feel
that's a very good question. The single thing that I think that I really start thinking about it, Franklin, it was the fire management. I never work in other place with the firemen that take so much care about the fire. Okay. It's really a particular way of the fire. The rest, honestly, it was pretty similar. You know, slightly different here and there, but the main focus, and especially because I started doing keep. Keep is that you pretty much you season and you put the brisket on and you go ahead for a quarter of the cook and then somebody else will continue.
Okay.
You know, in that beginning, and it is the most physical because, you know, you get a season this 100 brisket, grab it, put on the smoker, you know, it's very physical.
Mm-hmm.
So if you made it, if you cannot do that, probably you're going to survive. Yeah. If not, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I do a little bit of cutting, a little bit of night cook. I finish up the cook and I start the cooking brisket. Yeah.
So you cut on the line too?
Yeah, yeah.
How is that? Much, yeah. Is that interesting? Yeah.
That's super cool. That's we have two cutter in mm-hmm. In the Franklin. We have the one in the trailer, which is all pre-order. Let's say you have to go order more of 5 pound of meat.
Oh, that's true.
And that is super crazy fast because people are going to be there on a specific time. And sometimes we have probably maybe a week or 10 days, couple of weeks, a waiting list for people to go there. So it's also an experience for them because they reserve so much ahead. They're paying a lot of money because, you know, they're getting a lot of meat, you know,
But they're not seeing you cut. They're just picking up, right?
No, yeah, they're not picking up. In the front, instead, is a lot of small order. It's a lot of talking. You gotta get going. But people realize that there are a lot of people behind them. So, if you're an exchange of, hey, how are you? All that's cool. And then pretty much,
But it's also interesting. I always think about the fact that people wait so many hours just for that moment, and so it's a very special moment to those people while they're there, because it's that final moment of being there, seeing the food cut, and then
I always, Kevin, get amazed by the fact that I start my shift, when I cook in the morning at 7, and people, I can tell, they're way earlier than me, over there. And this, it really, for someone who likes his job and stuff, it really affects you, because how much trust they're putting on me. I mean, you felt the kind of pressure of doing well. And I'll guarantee you, when you are sweating your ass off and you're doing 100 brisket, it's really easy to trick your mind and say, it doesn't matter, it's Franklin Barbecue, will be okay. But I'm not even bullshitting you. Everybody that knows me, I know I'm a pretty straightforward guy. But that kind of responsibility that we all carry, it helps you to keep that's it going true. Straight, to have a high, to shoot for a very high quality. The cutter do the same. That's what it's a very good team of people that really felt the responsibility.
That's it. That's really interesting. That makes sense psychologically. Yeah. It keeps you focused.
Yeah, because every morning then you see the line, because while you're loading the brisket in the morning, you see this line and gone forever. And then people come from Australia. I do a lot. They make fun of me because I'm Italian. I like to talk. I'm a very empathic guy. And so in the morning we do this pit tour, And my pit tour, they last forever. I like to talk because I really like this thing of sharing things, the sharing information about barbecue and this and that. And they say, man, you're not a pit master. You're a tour master. Because I really like to share with people, give the best experience ever. It's really important for me.
That's amazing. So what's the future plans?
The future plans. I'm really intrigued with beside Texas barbecue. I'm really intrigued of this kind of bridge. I will say that goes from Texas all over the world. So, and maybe I feel that because I'm not from Texas. So people from Texas, maybe they take it for granted, but what they're doing is something amazing. They can go on an international scale, and people are getting very interesting. It's a very kind of, it can be a tool for a cool cultural exchange,
That's smart.
And I noticed this. So when I went back, after I worked for a minute at Cooper's, I went back in Italy, I felt that man, people just, oh wow, this guy from Texas. I felt cool, man. I felt like, wow. Ooh. And I did that, what I call the Italian tour. I was doing pops up all over. They were very friendly, I didn't make any money out of it, but I was just, I want to share, what I learned and this and that. I was just amazing. Now, after that, I started doing these pop ups all over. I met so many friends. That's the thing. Because people from barbecue, passionate about barbecue, it can be a doctor, it can be a construction, whoever, And I met just so many people just because of barbecue. It wasn't because of barbecue. I wouldn't know this guy, And today they are in my friend list because of barbecue, And I just love the thing. I'm very fascinating about Latin America kind of grilling.
Yes.
This was always this thing about me. And I think I'm going to this event. You guys look it up. It's called the Churrascada.
Mm-hmm.
It's in São Paulo.
Yeah.
This is this great event. I'll probably be there. I have to figure out a time frame that I can escape from Texas and just go back. I'll figure that out. But I really would like to go.
When's the date of that?
There is one in April, beginning of April, one beginning of June, and the other one is the 3rd of August.
Oh, I didn't know there are multiple ones.
There are multiple ones. One is in São Paulo, and the other one I can't really recollect now. Think, and then, an example, yesterday we were at Bangers with this guy, Mario Valle from Brazil. He's a muy gringo. You look it on Instagram, muy gringo. And this guy, he fished the fish from the Amazon, and he grilled it. You go look at what this fish look like. Amazing. It's opened his third restaurant, And barbecue evolved in so many different angle and aspect. And sometimes we just get so caught up in our technicalities, you know, because being a nerd, you know, yeah. I don't technically all the brisket, and you don't see what's around you. But what's around you usually is amazing. And then as a personality thing, you know, people tend to be more private, you know, about it. I just like sharing, you know, I can engage in a conversation for brisket for hours.
Do you think you'll be moving there eventually? Is that?
I like this kind of consulting and sharing my thing. I think that Texas always has a place in my heart. I don't think I can live for an extensive period of time away from Texas. I just love Texas people. I really like Texas so much. You know, you will ask me in New York. New York to stay a little bit, but I never felt so much in love. It's too crazy of a city for me. It's more for my personality. Texas, it really is home for me.
When you had talked about off camera before we started, you had talked about working on a film project. Is that something that you're working on the side as well?
So I figured that because I was in Texas, so I can experience real true Texas barbecue. And it's just my personality. I get to know a lot of people, you know, from different barbecue, and I'm really intrigued in their style of cooking. Then the same thing can pretty much in a different way. And because of the video, I get to go in Italy, in any other country. And I really like this, you know, as I told you, this sharing thing. Say, I'm going to go and document this, my experience abroad, mm-hmm. you know. So it will be Texas barbecue,
okay.
And the way the butcher cut the meat and the kind of cut that they use it, then go in Italy, which is a complete different way. We used to, you know, we use brisket to make soup, you know.
Yeah, so, that's true. That, a lot of places do that, yeah.
You know, and so going over there, I have a lot of friends in Italy, and it happened, I have this guy who is a filmmaker, a pretty good filmmaker in Italy. He's in the Rai, which is so in Italy they have some channel owned by the government, some other channel owned by Berlusconi and private parties.
Okay.
So I know this guy, and this guy happened to love barbecue, and he told me, "So wow, this, I like what you're doing. Why don't you do a little bit better quality? You know, more organized." And I told him my project, and this sounds cool. You know, maybe going to Brazil. You know, this guy sharing his Texas experience. And this other guy teaching me, you know, how to do churrasco, foco de cao, all this kind of things.
Great.
And yeah, I have this thing going, and it will be pretty easy gear. It will consist just a guy following me with the camera, and I can tell a little bit of my story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it will be interesting because there's so much confusion about, you know, people over here take it for granted, but outside of the United States, instead of Texas, there is a lot of confusion with competition, what they do, what did this and that, you know, it would be cool to clarify also how the competition guy do stuff and how, I was talking with this guy in Peru, who is pretty much the pioneer now in smoking meat. And yeah, we're going to do a show over there. They're going to be the Betty. This guy, he was here, and he had the opportunity to show him around in Lockhart, Franklin, show, you know, Terrace Black, all this great place. And another couple of friends in Italy, this guy from Blackett and this guy from Phil's Barbecue, they came here to see how, you know, Texas barbecue, because they're always inspired by Texas.
For sure.
You know? And then they fix it with their own style. You know, I don't think it makes sense to, if you want to, if you want to reply the Texas style, you gotta use local product. Yeah. I don't think it makes sense that you're gonna import a mesh 16 from Texas in order to season your brisket in Italy. No, in Italy you get other seasoning, you know. But a lot of
there's a specific palate in Italy too that you have to.
Yeah, also the flavor profile change, and it's kind of interesting, intriguing this way of doing things. And yeah, I'm gonna do it. Yeah.
And I think that would be interesting too for people in America to see too. It's not, I don't think it'll just be perfect for people outside of the United States. I think it'll be interesting for us to see
Yeah, I think that because Texan people, they don't realize how people are interested outside of Texas about barbecue. And I'll guarantee you they're they're very interested. They're very interested.
And also too, I think people in Texas sometimes don't realize how good they have it. We, when you live outside
Yeah,
of Texas in somewhere else in the United
it's
States, you're,
like
I can't just
when
drive down the street to get good barbecue. It's not that easy.
my wife is American, and when she moved to Italy, for me all this delicious food that we had, they were normal, you know what I'm saying? But what's for her, that would blow her mind away. Because, you know, and I say, oh wow, yeah, you're right, that's pretty good, you know.
But it's like the best quality and the ingredients that you could ever have. It's just we just it's yeah that's and it's true probably for every region of the every area.
Of course,
Definitely.
of course,
So then
of
how long
course.
so do you for so then you figure you'll probably be living in you'll live in Austin and then
Yeah.
do be doing these kind of satellite projects.
Yeah, I mean, as long as sustainable, so far I love doing a Franklin. They put a lot of trust on me. I had a pretty quick scale of kind of cross training, this and that. I have a great relationship with Andy, which is pretty much the back of the house manager. You know, I give them full availability. Sometimes I do back to back. You know, I finish cook at 2, 3 in the morning, and then I'm back there at 7 to cook to cut or cook again. I give my full availability.
That's great.
I made it clear. I never cared since day one, you know, how much money I was making. I said, for me, it's an honor to be here. And I was making sure they knew that. But yeah, eventually, you know, eventually I had to continue doing my part. But in every restaurant that I went, well, almost every restaurant that I went, I have a great relationship with the management and with the owner. So for me, it's very important. Not the money and the stuff that you're doing while you're there, but the relationship that you give
That's smart.
after.
That's a good
So
advice.
yeah, I'm always drive, and I always honored to have. Let's put it this way: if shit happened to me right now, the first guy who I call is Bill Curran,
Sounds like
because
it.
we had a great relationship. He's a friend of mine. I respect him a lot. It was an exchange, you know, of friendship that we had through the years. And I really like to get you talk a lot, you know, JB Brown, you know, I'm still talking to this day. You know, I explain clearly. See, listen, Franklin Barbecue is really what I want to do. Barbecue is my thing. And I was trying to be as nice as possible in the leaving process. You know, I was making sure that we'll hire someone. You know, I could just give my 2 weeks notice and goodbye, you know. But I don't like to do this because it's more important to keep a good relationship after you leave the place, you
That's
know.
so smart. And here's a question I've never asked anybody, but because you work at Franklin, what's a good day? People always ask me, what's a good day to go that the line won't be as long? Is there any day that you could
It's
recommend?
more. It's more. It's not a good day. It's a matter of luck. So if you sometime if you showed up at 2 p.m., you know, in the week, 2 p.m., they might have all the food and there are a few people in line. But you know what I'm saying? It's just a matter of luck. Some other day, totally unexpected. We have a big ass long line. Some other days we don't. It's not very constant,
There's
but.
not like a day like a Wednesday. If you come a Wednesday morning, it's gonna be.
Tendentially, what I noticed, because walking through, you know, when I walk through at 7 in the morning, I can tell you that in Wednesday, not every Wednesday people are waiting at 5 in the morning over there. You know, I can tell you that. So tendentially is a little bit lower, but the real thing is, I hate waiting in line. So I taught myself to wait in line in Austin because somehow people love to wait in line, but.
It's a
As
thing.
an Italian, we just can't handle it. We had to find a way to switch around, and we cannot wait in line. It's just Italian airport, they're cows because nobody wants to wait for their shit. You know, that's how we are built. It's in our day. So and I went my very first time at Franklin. Yeah, it was like a Wednesday around 2 p.m. and you know the line was a little bit by the door, you know, a little bit further by the door, and I waited maybe 20 minutes. Yeah, but that was a lucky one.
I try to tell people that it's part of the experience and that if they want to do it.
No, but it's totally part of the experience. I think it goes 50%, 50%, and it's totally part of the experience.
But if you've
I
already been there, before and experience the line, then it's good. You can, yeah, like pop in like around 2 o'clock and see if
yeah,
it's
I
still
mean
up for
I because the smokehouse is on top and the people in line on the bottom. So they seem to this guy have fun, you know. You know what I'm saying? They don't know like this.
No, they're not sad.
They're just, you know, over there chilling, and yeah, they seem to have a lot of fun.
Well, Max, thank you, and I'm going to call you Max because it's easier.
Yeah,
Max,
yeah. That's,
thank you, you so much for your. Is there anything else that people should know about you, and how to get? What are the best ways to follow you?
Well, best way to follow me, I'm start to picking up on Instagram and YouTube, pretty much sharing my content on YouTube, the longer video that I do on YouTube, which is Texicana BBQ, is Instagram, YouTube. I have my main thing is like my Facebook profile, which is my name, Mauro Chieffari, and I also have a Facebook page. But yeah, the main thing is Mauro Chieffari, my personal profile, which pretty much I do. I publish all my stuff that I do, and then yeah, Texicana Barbecue. And but another thing that we gotta share is my friend Willie over here.
Okay.
So I always carry this bobblehead. It's so important for me.
Okay.
Because this guy has a story. Pretty much one day I remember. I don't remember exactly. I cannot recollect when. But so Aaron and Emily, they were so sweet about it. Bill Carroll and Emily. They give me this diploma, this certificate. And I say, congratulations, you're a pit master now. Because I managed, without knowing, I managed the whole cook by myself.
Oh, wow.
Three Mingos, you know, managed the whole cook by myself. And then they give me this. So this reminds me when I kind of, you know, I say, okay, I get it. You know, I can manage the whole cook by myself, you know. So I say,
Does Willie come with you on your journey sometimes?
Always. My video was always when I was doing... Because I was making this video, and I you know, figured the barbecue profile in Italy, and I call it Psychopath of Barbecue, because they were really crazy about it, you know. And then with Willie, you know, it's kind of funny, bobblehead.
Yeah, that's
which
cool.
Which is the guy from Duck Dynasty, you know. It's not Willie Nelson. It's just
it's not Willie Nelson, I know.
No, yeah, it's from Duck Dynasty.
But even if it was Willie Nelson, it would still make kind of make sense.
Yeah, everybody thinks it will need some, but yeah.
That's cool. Well, thank you so much. And it's really an exciting story and really an interesting story. And I'm glad we got a chance to talk. And I was seeing you on the periphery doing things, and I'm like, who is this guy? What is he up to? Like, I was so curious.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people probably are.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for your time, and I really enjoyed this conversation.
I'll hit you up when I'm in Austin. I'll be there in a couple months.
Sure, man.
Have a great day.
All right.
All right. You take care.
You too, man. Bye.